This afternoon we're going to read the Psalm 104. And as we come to read this Psalm, I want you to think about this. In Genesis chapter 1, we are told that God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the facts of creation. God tells us what he created in those 6 days. And he sets it forth in a very systematic, clear, logical fashion. We may not understand how God could create the heavens and the earth out of nothing, because we are not God. We have no way of appreciating the power, the magnitude, the genius of God, because we are but finite creatures. But we know that God made everything because the Bible tells us so. Here in the Psalm 104, we have the creation spoken of again. And the various aspects of creation are here mentioned. But this time, it's poetic. God creating the heavens and the earth in poetry. And this is what the Psalm 104 is. So just listen to this beautiful poem as I read it to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honour and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work, and to his labour until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The Psalm 103 and the Psalm 104 are very much companion psalms. This is obvious from the use of the words, bless the Lord, O my soul. In both cases, the psalmist was lifting up his heart, lifting up his soul. He was praising the Lord with all his might. In the Psalm 103, the psalmist is praising the God of redemption, the God who forgives us our sins. In the Psalm 104, the psalmist was praising the God of creation. In Psalm 103, the psalmist was praising the God who is our Heavenly Father. In the Psalm 104, the psalmist was praising the God who is our Creator. It is important that we realize this dual relationship that man has with God. In the first place, God is our Creator. Without Him, we would not have life. But in the second place, He is also our Redeemer. He saves us. He washes our sins away. All of God's creatures are His creatures. He is the Creator of all living creatures. We cannot escape from that. That's why, as rational beings, we all have a responsibility to God. We will stand before God one day as our judge because He is our Creator. Everybody has that relationship as a creature of God. But not everyone has that relationship as the redeemed of God. To know that you're a child of God. To know that you one day will be in heaven. We need the dual relationship. But this, after and I want to talk to you about this important relationship we have with God as our Creator. Because this psalm talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth. We read about the light. We know that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We read about the trees here, the great cedars of Lebanon. We read about the beasts of the field. We read about the wild asses. We read about the birds singing in the trees. We read about the food that man eats and the creatures eat, the grass that grows, that sustains and nourishes. We read about their young lions roaring after their prey. We read about the moon and read about the heavens and read about the sun. You see, here we have the creation of the heavens and the earth put to poetry. And what a beautiful and wonderful poem it is. And on the surface, what we need to understand is this, that man did not evolve from apes. That this universe did not come into being as an accident of nature. God made all things. Everything owes their source to God, including man himself. We are God's creatures. And if you believe that you're a creature of God, if you believe that God made man and made the universe, then you must believe. One day you will stand before God. And are you prepared for that? Have your sins been forgiven? Is your relationship with God appropriate? Are you in the right place with Him today? This psalm also tells us that God not only creates all things, but He sustains life. Everything that we have comes from God. For example, He says that all creatures wait upon God because He gives them their meat in due season. And then in verse 28, we have this wonderful phrase, "Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good." So here we have a God who sustains life, who provides the food, who supplies the harvest, who sends the rain, who causes the sun to shine, causes growth to take place. It all comes from the open hand of God. If God were to clench His fist and be miserable and miserly, we would have nothing. We would starve to death. There would be no rainfall. The earth would be consumed. It would become a ruinous place. But no, this world is a world of plenty. The fact that some people are in starvation is not God's fault. It is the fault of man who mismanages what God has given. So we should take time and thank God and reflect upon the fact that we have so many good things that come from Him. And what we are told here in the verse 31, and verse 31 is probably the most important verse of this psalm. "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works." So God looks at this creation. He looks at this world and He rejoices. He's happy. He's satisfied with what He has done. Now, He is not satisfied with the sin of man that mars the world, that ruins the world, that mismanages nature. But He is satisfied with His creation. And if God rejoices in what He has done, we likewise should rejoice in the creation of God. We should look around us and we should look for the hand of God in the world. And this is what the psalmist did here. He looked at the rivers flowing from the mountains. He looked at the channels by which their flow has been cut through the earth. And he could see that God has provided that track for the rivers. He looked at the ships and he could see the hand of God, and he thought about the great creatures that were lurking beneath the waves of the sea, and he knew that God gave them their strength. He looked at the moon and he could see that God has appointed a place for the moon, and God has appointed a time when the sun will rise and the sun will go down. He could hear the young lions roaring, and he knew that they were seeking their meat, but their meat would only come from God. He even looked at man going out to his work from morning until night, and he realized that God was glorified in that. And that's a very important reference, for it teaches that for man to be satisfied, he must be a working creature. He must be laboring. He must be laborious. He must not be lazy and lethargic. And so this psalm shows us the creative genius of God and what God has given us, and we should be truly grateful for that, and we should rejoice in what God has given. And then the psalmist said he was going to think about God. My meditation of him shall be sweet, he said. I will be glad in the Lord. Do you think about God? Don't ignore him. Don't act as if he is not there. He is there. He's very much present. We would not have all the wonderful things that we enjoy if it were not for him. Our meditation of him should also be sweet. And then in the verse 35 he says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. There will be a day of judgment. The wicked will be destroyed. You be sure that you will not be amongst the wicked people that will be destroyed at the end of time. You be sure that you're saved, that you're redeemed, that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You be sure of this. That you know that your sins are forgiven. There's nothing more important, because there's no one greater than this God whom we serve. And then the psalm ends. Praise ye the Lord, he says. Praise ye the Lord. This is the word hallelujah. It is the first time the word hallelujah is used in the book of Psalms. Yes, we should say hallelujah. There is no one like God. Do you know God today? Do you know Christ as your one and only Savior? Oh, please think about this. See God in the world around you, and you be sure that you know him as your Father, Redeemer, and Friend.